All right, we'll continue today again from the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. What we have been discussing is the fruitful life, in which I am explaining how Christians get results. That there is something about the life of the Christian that is different. There is something about the life of the believer in Christ Jesus that is unique. Don't forget what we have said. We said there are laws in life. We call them common laws. There are natural common laws and there are spiritual common laws. The mistake we make a lot of times is that we think that because we are Christians, we are the only ones that operate common law, the common spiritual laws. But it's not true. There are laws, for example, the spiritual law of sowing and reaping applies to everybody. It applies to everybody that any man that shows mercy shall obtain mercy. It applies to everybody. Whether you're a believer, you're a Muslim, you're a Hindu, you follow Guru Maharaj, or you're a plain atheist, if you show mercy, mercy is made available to you. What a man sows, that he shall also reap. Now, those laws apply to everybody. And there are physical laws also. I won't go over that again. But I said there is a third level, which the Bible, the one that applies to the believer, is what is called the law of the spirit of life, which we said is available only in Christ Jesus. And that is what makes the Christian unique. That's what makes his life different from the life of an unbeliever. That's what makes him unique by his faith in God. Are you getting my point? And we've been explaining that. And that when we want to discuss Christianity, what we must focus on is that issue of the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, how it operates. Do not say and brag about it that these things work for everybody. Listen, I'm not saying they don't. You've heard me say that. But I said that that's not what makes me a Christian. That's not what I come to church to want to connect with. You see that Paul, who taught extensively, will always say that I don't want to know anything amongst you other than Christ Jesus and him crucified. That is, I have a goal. My goal is to magnify Christ in your life. Because there are situations you get to in life. I said something before that, you see, the natural laws currently, if you are not a believer, they work under a curse. In fact, you know, I said something also that the third level is not only the positive law, the spirit of life that operates there. You also have a curse operating from a level beyond the common laws. Are you getting my point? That is, you can have something operating in somebody's life. Like I gave as an example, you find out that the problem that a black man had generally, all right, in life was not because, you know, a lot of people won't want to sound politically correct. We can't say these things because it appears like you are saying that a white man is superior. I never said that. What I said that the problem was started from the curse of Noah. When he said, cursed be Canaan, all right? We said that Canaan was the son of Ham, and that actually that what he said was, cursed be Ham. And that curse applied to Canaan, to Mizraim, to Put, and to Cush. Now, so we said that because of that, a spiritual force was set in motion that made certain people, all right, appear like they always did things wrong. And what happened was that as a result of the curse operating, they would try to operate the law, the common laws, but they would discover that understanding is withdrawn away from them, and they begin to operate common laws, but negatively. So that instead of showing mercy, they show wickedness, and therefore they obtain what? Wickedness. Are you getting my point? Occasionally, you find those who will break through from the common thing, all right, of everybody showing wickedness and show mercy, and the mercy will still apply to his life also. That is, the point that we are making from there is that, see, there is a level, all right, in which things work like they are not within your control. You know, I was analyzing, all right, you know, we're listening to a message as I was coming, my wife and I was explaining some things to her, that these things are good, they are right. But a man describes how he succeeds. And I say, I look at things from a spiritual perspective. You tell me that, look, like one woman was speaking, and one of the messages people who spoke, that I learned how to get up early. I learned how to do this. I became disciplined. When I was young, I was very disciplined because I wanted to do this. So I learned discipline very early in life. And I said, look, listen, my friend, many people learn discipline, all right? At the end of the day, a natural disaster wipes away all their discipline. I'm telling you the truth. Yes, you know, Israel was telling me, some of you may have read the story in the papers, of about 50 people that died in an accident yesterday, all right, because a truck fell, carrying fuel, tipped over and caught fire while they were all stuck in a holdup. You can be disciplined, my friend. You discipline yourself into an exploding truck. What are you going to do? That's why Solomon said the race is not to the swift. Let me tell you, people, all right? Because we have to balance these things. We can learn natural things. Is that okay? We'll discuss that later, all right? You can learn natural things. You can learn all those things, okay? But there are things that just work beyond your level. Are you getting my point? They're not within your control. That's what Solomon was trying to explain. That when he said favor, no favor to men of understanding, that you can know all the laws of business and you still fail. I hope you are following what I'm not explaining. We must get that clear. We must get it clear. We must get it clear. I was explaining something to my wife that you will see as an example, 3,000 people practice a certain law. And you find that less than 300 of them will get anything out of it. Is that the law doesn't work? No. The law works. It is just that there is something beyond that law that's working in their lives. So the man gets up early, all right, and does everything very well. At the end of the day they are supposed to deliver the final goods that will make him rich in life and for life. On the road, there happens to be one drunk driver that nobody knew was drunk, that they gave his own truck to drive. And the guy drove everything into the Atlantic Ocean. Are you following what I'm saying? That's what is called bad luck. And we said a luck is a colloquial expression for the word blessing. So if a man doesn't have blessing, things just go wrong, even though he has done everything correctly. Please don't ever forget that. You need the law of God working in your favor. You need the power of God releasing good things in your direction. It's important. And that's what we're trying to explain. How do Christians get results? We must operate from that level, all right, in which we'll operate the common laws, but they are added unto us. They are not the primary focus of our Christianity. The primary focus of our Christianity is to operate how spiritual laws work in our favor. You are following the point I'm making? That's just what it is. Now, we'll now say something. Let's continue our message today. Second Peter. We said that Christians, before we read, let me just say this is where we were. That Christians operate by what? Christians operate by what? The promise. What guarantees you success in life, all right, is the promise of God. That the reason why you will prosper in life is not because you learned the laws of prosperity. No. It is because God spoke and he said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. It has nothing to do primarily with the fact that you knew the laws of prosperity or not. You go and see Abraham. That's why the Bible didn't use to emphasize those things in those people's lives. He used to emphasize two things in their lives. Number one, the word of the Lord came to him saying, and then he believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And that is his faith was tested, but the faith stood. So by faith and patience, he inherited what? Not the principles. What did he inherit? The promises. Listen, true Christianity, we are all going to walk into it. Amen. You will discover that what God has ordained and wants you to experience is that you step into things that you did not plan for. That's why I told them you will live in houses that you did not build. That's a spiritual law. It's a promise. If you try, materially speaking, to scheme to live in houses you did not build, you can't. All you can do is try and steal. You may go to jail. But when a promise is over your head, that says that you will live in houses you did not build. Let me explain something to you. A lot of testimonies. Now, I told you, be careful. Testimonies, I have discovered these days, they are very difficult to understand. Because the reason why a lot of things are happening in people's lives, people don't even understand why. Are you getting my point? The problem is that God is working in a manner that a man doesn't understand. So when it comes to testify, he doesn't even know exactly what God was doing. So he says, that morning, as I got up, I said, today, I spoke to today and said, today, you must be a day of breakthrough. Listen, except God ordained that day as a day of breakthrough, many are they that have spoken and nothing happened. He said, who is it that can speak and it will come to pass except that the Lord commanded it? Are you getting my point? God was angry at the time. He said, you see these prophets, they ran. And they went and prophesied when I did not send them. So if a man gets up to you and say that morning I just declared that today must be good and the whole day was good. Listen to me. First, the Lord spoke that the day must be good. And then one way or the other, the Holy Spirit connected him with the plan of God. Then he now prophesied on the earth about the goodness of that day. And it happened as he had said, not because he had all the power in himself, but because God first said that it would be a good day. So in the book of Hebrews, we read that because he has said, I will never leave you, neither will I ever forsake you. He said, therefore, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What can anybody do to me? Are you following what I'm going to explain? Listen, Christians operate by what? Promise. We operate by promises. You know, I was talking about the spiritual law that was working against the black man. But don't ever forget, that was then. You know, when Barack Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize for this 2009, I mean, it was quite a surprise. But it was very nice. I said, this guy is really, 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 God is really just showing some things on him. All right? For those of you who don't know, the 2009 Nobel Peace Prize was given to Barack Obama, all right? The current American president. I said, look, the reason why, now for me, the man's life is a sign. Is a sign. And you must understand there's usually an outplaying of that which is spiritual. Alright? I'm bringing an issue here. That originally, the black man went to America as a slave because of a spiritual law. But because Jesus died, that's what I'm coming to. Are you getting my point? Because Jesus died and rose again from the dead, there's now a new operation of a law called the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Alright? And that law says there's now no distinction between white or black. That law, that promise of God says now that there is now no distinction between yellow or pink. There's anything like that as human colors. Alright? Whether you're American or Nigerian, God said, as far as I'm concerned, there is no spiritual law now that's there to hold you back. Are you getting my point? Therefore, the Christians, look, let me tell you something. If they're organizing deliverance services, don't go there. You don't belong. Are you getting my point? If they are trying to break the power of witches, don't go there. You don't belong. If they are trying to bring all the causes in your life are living today, don't go there. You don't belong. Except you're a sinner and you don't believe in Christ Jesus yet. Those things are for those who are still operating under the law of sin and death. That is, they are still walking in sin. Their faith, all right, has not connected them with God so as to bring them out of that particular level. You can't help now. Today, we are going to wash away all the filth from your life. All you pigs, I won't go there. I'm wearing a fine suit, an expensive perfume. My shirt is clean, hyper clean. What is my problem? You want to wash men who are dirty? Go and look for them. Not me. Not me. You trying to wash them. Try and be as clean as I am. That's the way it is. So when they say that all the powers of the devil today is living your life, it's not a problem, all right? Pray for them, bless them, sponsor one or two sinners to go there. But you, my brother, just walk on by. Are you getting my point? Go somewhere else. You are a blessed person. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? There is a promise over your life. If you read through the scriptures, you see, that's why a lot of things we are learning these days, like I said, they are not wrong. They are good laws, but they are common laws. You will discover that in the New Testament, they are not discussed. Look at Peter, look at Paul, James. They always emphasized on the promises of God. Look at Hebrews. Be followers of them who through faith and what? Patience inherit the promises. Seeing that we have the promises, Paul said, let us cleanse ourselves of what? All defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It's when we have perfected holiness, we will inherit the promises. We operate by promise. That's why I said knowledge and understanding. You can't do without it as a believer. You can't. You can't. Because the first thing about promises is that you must know them. When you know them, then you lay hold of them. That's why you hear me say it all the time. I'm not afraid of poverty at all. Not because I have a smart brain for business. Not at all. It's because I can never forget. That scripture jumped out of the pages into my face. It said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. That's why I declare boldly, I can never be poor. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. It makes no difference. Let me tell you something. This is something you must understand as a believer. Whether your father left you 100 billion naira or left you nothing, you're the same. A man's life, let me put it like this. A believer's life does not consist in the amount of the things that they left him or he possesses, but consists in the amount of the promise that God has left hanging over his life. As far as God is concerned, what you look like outwardly means nothing. What he sees is a promise. And you know, he said concerning Abraham, a father of many nations, I am going to make you. Was that what he said? No. He said, a father of many nations, I have made you. When the man did not have any offspring, a father of many nations. So when God will look at him, all he's seeing is what? A father of many nations. Promise. The whole life of Abraham was working out the inheritance of that promise. That's why the book of Hebrews explains that to us. Hebrews chapter 6. Let us be followers of them who through faith and patience, two things, not through their human wisdom, not through their understanding of business principles. Are you getting my point? But through their faith and their patience, they inherit the promises. That's what we have been explaining. 2 Peter chapter 2, chapter 1. Talking about this promise, it said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. We'll experience that through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these, he has granted us his precious and magnificent promises in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. I explained this one last time. I don't want to go by it again because of time. But don't forget what I said, that to be a partaker means to be one who is living in the experience of that divine nature. And we said that that was what Jesus was experiencing that made Nicodemus come to him and just testify that the kind of work we are seeing, no one can do them except God is with him. And Jesus answered that except a man be born again, he cannot enter, he cannot see, both of them, the kingdom of God. Now, Peter was not explaining this one further here. Having been taught by the Lord Jesus, he said, because of these promises that we have, through which we are going to be partakers or experiencers, let me use that word, I hope you don't mind my new English, all right, of the divine nature. It said, for this reason, let us apply all diligence, and in your faith, he said, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, supply knowledge, and in your knowledge, supply self-control. Added perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and then love. He said, these are qualities. I read the New American Standard here. He said, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, if these qualities are not yours, you will become useless and unfruitful. No matter how much degrees you have, you will be useless and what? Unfruitful. No matter how much you know the laws of business, you will be useless and unfruitful. No matter how much you know how to rise up early. You know, I was listening to somebody talking, you know, one of the people I told you, I heard, describing how it is to grow up in New York. I said that in New York, an average person works between 12 to 14 hours a day. I said, obviously, you guys are working out of the will of God. Because it is vain for a man to rise up early and to go to bed late, thereby eating the bread of hard labors or sorrows. Because God, when he's the one blessing, gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. It is unfortunate that a lot of principles we try to learn as Christians are the principles of rising up early, going to bed late, and having people testify to us of how they ate the bread of sorrows. And then we told their parts and said, this is the path to success, that he has a story to tell. I told you before, Christians don't talk out of experience. We talk out of what? The knowledge of promises. People have made us look foolish. They show results. No, I don't show results. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. I show scripture. I show promises. Whether I experience it or not is not the point. The Bible said there are many who believe certain things, but yet in their life they didn't experience it because it was for another time. Abraham, after he had Isaac, he knew he could depart in peace, that his eyes had seen the salvation of the Lord. He had not yet physically become the father of many nations. I don't argue with anybody about results. I argue based on the knowledge of what? Promises and the principles of God. What I mean by principles of God, I mean righteousness. Don't argue with me about results. What do you have to show? Listen, I told you before, don't ever forget it. God is not competing about who's the richest man in the world. Because if he were to give you the revelation of the person that's the richest man in the world, you probably won't believe him. God looks and says, you know what, to need to see the richest man in the world? Should I show him to you? You see him, he drives a common 2002 Toyota Camry, driving around Enugu and hasn't gone anywhere. And God said, look at him there. That is the richest man in the world as far as I am concerned. You can imagine that with Abraham, they will have asked God, who's the largest nation on the earth? What would he say? Abraham. He doesn't have a son yet. He said, that's what I think. This man is the father of what? Many nations. Don't ever forget that. What are we doing as Christians? What we are doing is to connect with our promises. And Peter is explaining here that if you don't have these qualities, you will be what? Useless and unfruitful. Don't forget that. Now, he said in verse 9, outlining what I said just now, he said, for he who lacks these qualities, this is what makes people lack qualities. Please, notice this. Or notice the result of not having the correct policies. He said the person is blind, all right, or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Please, I want you to follow that. That this is a problem with sins. I want to talk about that briefly today. That's my main message, and then I leave here. For Christians, you know, there are different ways to explain some things. There's a new way I've been explaining this matter of giving in recent times, as an example. So that, and I like to explain so that it won't be like I'm contradicting what everybody else is saying. I'm not stupid. I know what people are saying. But you see, there are different levels to knowledge, and there are different levels to understanding. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? You know, the Bible says that Apollos came and was teaching accurately the things of the kingdom. And then when Priscilla and Aquila saw him, they heard the accurate teachings, how inaccurate they were. I don't know whether you get my point. Apollos came dissecting, the Bible says, accurately the things of the kingdom, but having only been acquainted with the baptism of whom? Of John. That is, according to the accuracy of John, he was good. But Priscilla and Aquila, having been taught by Paul, they knew things that were beyond the baptism of John, so they took him aside and showed those things to him more accurately. Let me show you a more accurate way to understand the doctrine of giving. Let me say it again. Christians don't prosper because they give. It's just one of those low levels of accuracy. What we have, what do we call it? Popularized. You know why people, Christians prosper? Who can tell it to me? Because of what? Because of what? Because of what? Promise. Listen to me. That thing was not cheap. Jesus died for it. But the Christian who's not a giver is a sinner. I mean it literally. That's not a joke. I don't mean to qualify it tomorrow. That's the problem. Because I said last time, for everything that God wants to do in your life, listen to this. For everything that God wants to do in your life, there is a door. Peter said that, if you read further down. He talked about verse 11. In this way, he said, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. There is something that's for, there's something that is called the will of God. And that will of God represents your entrance into anything that you want to do. There is one thing at each particular point in time that God is demanding from you. At each point in time, there is what? One thing. And that thing is your own entrance into your kingdom. It's your door. So Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see it. Are you getting my point? That is, there was a promise upon the head of the lad, Ishmael. And Ishmael stepped into the wilderness with the mother Hagar and was about to die until the woman cried to God and God showed her the well that was there, but they did not see. That was why I preached then, open my eyes, oh God. Except you see, are you getting my point? You will not step into your inheritance. You will not step into your promise. And what I'm discussing is, why don't people see? He says the lack of these qualities. That is, going to a business school, it's not going to help your business as a believer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's not the primary help for your business. You can contract all the consultants you want to. After a while, even you will get tired. It will help you. What you need is what only the Holy Spirit can give to you. And that is eyes that are open. You remember what I said last time? Let me not repeat that message again. I said, David, when he was going to kill Goliath, David was not guessing. It is those of us now that look at it and say, hey, a young lad, he killed Goliath. Hey, God just walked mightily. David knew God was mighty, but he was not depending upon that when he was going to kill Goliath. I don't know whether you get my point. It was the might of God. Yes, he knew. He was testifying about that grace in his life. But when he was going, he wasn't thinking that God will please, so you could try to do something. No. He had his business plan. What was his business plan? I will take my stone. I will put it in my sling. I will aim this guy with his big head. Giants have big heads. Are you following what I'm saying? He knew that was his strategy. The guy was not thinking that peradventure lightning shall strike and Goliath shall fall down. He wasn't counting on lightning striking. He wasn't counting on Goliath missing his aim. He wasn't counting on that. What he was counting on was simple. I can sling farther than he can throw a javelin. So from a great distance, I shall take my stone that I used to sling at a strand of hair and not miss. How will I sling that same stone at the head of a giant and miss? So the man went, did what we all know. It went according to what he knew. That was his own entrance into the kingdom. Are you getting my point? One of the things we call faith, which is absolute foolishness, is I want to get up and just go without any plan, without anything, and things will just work. And I say, it was the grace of God. We don't know. I did not go for the exam, yet I passed. There are testimonies I have told you, don't ever share. Even if God did them, don't share them. Pastor Mark, what do you mean? It's not the will of God. Listen, my friend, Jesus said, come, see that you tell no man. There are things he will do. And he will tell you, please, don't tell anybody. If you tell them now, they will think this is my normal way of doing things. This is a special dispensation with the details of the workings of it I can't explain to you now. When you die and get to heaven, we will tell you why we did it. Don't go and confuse the rest of the brethren. Brethren will come and testify and say, that morning, I didn't know what happened. When the exam was going, I was sleeping. Yet, when the result came out, I had the highest mark. Praise the Lord. And the rest of us shout. That's why Karl Marx looked at us and said, these guys are idiots. I'm serious. That's why the communists will come and say, look, only idiots can you tell those stories. And they will be impressed. So he said, we're on drugs. That's why he said, religion is the opium. For your information, if you don't know what's opium, the better word these days is heroin. Used to dull their senses, they can't think anymore. I've told you, if you're a student, please, such testimonies may I never hear from your mouth. If I hear your teeth will fall, don't share it in my presence. There are better testimonies. Testimonies of Daniel. Okay? Like they say in America, bring it on. Difficult problem, bring it on. You are so smart, not me, sir. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. It abides with him. He brings me the problem. You will know that there is a God in Israel. Constantly, I told you, Daniel never ever prayed about interpretation of any dream. Go and read the scriptures. The only time he prayed about a dream was when they didn't tell him the dream. When the king said, I have forgotten the dream. The magician said, tell us the dream. We'll tell the interpretation. He said, I have forgotten. You people, ole. You want me to tell you the dream? Then you will tell me anything since I don't know the interpretation. Like Miles Monroe will say, when you are not going anywhere, any road will take you there. So there is no way I know as the destination of this dream. You tell me anything and it is correct. Therefore, prove your power to me by first telling me the dream. Then everybody now told him that, okay, this one you have asked for. Only the gods do such things. And Daniel said, fine, let's show you how the gods work. He now went to pray. What am I saying? That was the only time Daniel prayed about a dream. Otherwise, as you are telling him, when the king was telling him about how he saw a big tree and somebody shouted from above, cut it down. As the king was saying it, Daniel was alarmed. Ah! Sir! What happened after? Then I saw the tree fall. Aish. Sir, after that, then they tied a chain, to the tree. Oh my God. How long? Seven. Aye. The king said, what's the problem, Daniel? He said, sir, my lord, do you have any enemies who can push this dream onto their heads? That is, as the word was coming forth, no prayer, the man had it resident inside him, how to interpret dreams. That's the glory of God.